And how can a document that deals specifically with the city address these issues, especially when there's so many private factors involved?
Well, there are many private factors, but there's still opportunities to bring down housing costs in the future by reaching out and accessing various programs that are available and may not have been utilized to the full extent as other communities in Alaska have been using these programs. So it's taking more advantage of opportunities to bring down housing costs for individuals.
Okay.
And I would also add to that the comprehensive plan in general does not only deal with actions that should be taken by the city that would benefit the community. In all of the areas that we touch on, or a number of the areas that we touch on in the comprehensive plan, not just housing, there are recommendations in here offered to be implemented by the private sector as well as by the public sector, because on a lot of issues, not just housing, collaborations and partnerships are very important in order to make those actions effective and be able to address the issues. We're just singling out housing here because when we did the visioning process, and that involved hundreds of people through focus groups and interviews and work sessions and a community-wide survey, housing came up in the voice of the citizens of Unalaska as a primary concern and a primary issue. And one of the quotes, and Martin used it, and I want to repeat it, that came out of the visioning over and over again, is that housing is the key to our future because it is so related to not only future population growth, but to employment and quality of life here in the community.
Yeah, I think Dolores brings up a really important point. No city government in the country can do it by themselves. No city government, no matter how effective and strong, regardless of its capacity, can take on this kind of job by itself. It needs its partners. It needs its nonprofit partners. It needs its private partners to work as a team. And that's a real key to the solution of housing in the city, and probably the key to most of the initiatives suggested by the comprehensive plan. It's collaboration and partnership.
Right. Whether we're talking about housing or management of the fisheries or clean water or economic development, economic diversification, the city is going to need its private partners.
So how does the plan encourage or get the private partners and stakeholders to really buy into it?
Well, one of the recommendations is the housing consortium, where we set up a mechanism for all the different partners to sit around a table together.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other components too. I mean, housing is extremely important. I don't want to discount that in any form or fashion, but the way this has been structured in my opening comments about it being an umbrella, this has the private sector's hands all over it now. It has nonprofit. I mean, this radio station did a comprehensive, a strategic plan. It's actually incorporated verbatim into this document. So we've been working in a very transparent way throughout the whole process. But this time around, other than just crafting a vision, what we want to do is get all the nuts and bolts in this community together. So I don't think there's any question whatsoever that there's been participation by the private sector, actually more participation by the private sector and the nonprofit community than the city government proper. As you wade through this, you'll see that never before has such a plethora of different activities from such a broad community come together around the subject of growth and development here. Something I'd be remiss if I didn't say too, and you brought this up about population. I don't buy into that just because there's a little dip at this point in time. That's from the standpoint of what we're trying to do here, that's relevant, but it's really irrelevant in the broader scheme. You're dealing with a resource here being fish primarily that the world is dependent on. And one little blip on the radar screen, if demand were to go up on that, you could double your population literally overnight. You do at times here anyway when you have the fishing community come in. So we got to be braced for that. And Alaska is not, while it is an island, it's a part of a global economy, and particularly with the resource that you have here, a resource that's becoming every day recognized as being much more important than ever before since we're depleting it. And Unalaska's right on top of that one even. Again, fisheries are important. It's your livelihood. And the city spends a tremendous amount of time and money monitoring that resource, sitting on committees internationally that deal with that resource. So with that in mind, in such a dynamic community, if we don't get ourselves, our act together here relative to being ready to produce, whether it's housing, whether it's more classrooms for the schools, whether it's expanding the PCR to meet demand, then the government understands that the private sector seems to very well too, that we'd be remiss if we didn't do our due diligence in planning for the future of what is a very dynamic community.
Another way to look at it, Anne, is there are some people here who say that there's not a housing market because population is projected to decline. Another way to look at it is that maybe population is projected to decline because there are not the housing units to support additional population. So, you know, we as planners and looking at the next 10 years of the community have to look at all of those possibilities.
So you mentioned previously that it is an island. We're an island. We have a limited amount of land. How does the comprehensive plan deal with land issues? Do we have enough to keep developing? What are your suggestions?
You hadn't even pricked the iceberg in terms of the possibilities on land here. Through this assignment, we had the opportunity to see places that we had never seen because we've only ever worked here in the winter. You guys are out playing, and we could never get your attention. But this time around, just because of the way the program was structured, we got a chance to see the past. We got a chance to see the whole Margaret's Bay area, for example. We'd never even been able to get into because of snow. And the interesting thing this time around, too, we've been, again, the community's been so preoccupied with physical development, but we've dealt and dug very deeply into the land issues here. You have an extremely small percentage of your land area that's developed today. That obviously, if you develop more, you got to expand utilities, but you have more than the majority of the land, let's say, overwhelming majority of the land in Alaska is not developed. So if you wanted to project into infinity here, I couldn't fathom a time when you would not have enough land to develop here. The question is slope, is land too severe or utilities available? But technology being what it is, obviously it's more expensive to build on slope. But even with that in mind, that's one of the things we're likely never going to have to worry about, certainly in any of our lifetimes, of running out of land. The rock's the rock, but it's a big rock.
Yeah, the city has a relatively new mapping system now as well. And Rosie Glorso, the planning administrator, has been putting together maps for the comprehensive plan. And one of them shows
Developable land.
And you can see if you just look at that one map that there is a tremendous amount of land still sort of open for the future of this community.
We try to identify housing by short-term sites that are almost ready to go now and longer-term sites that are going to take a lot more planning and collaboration. So some sites in the valley, infill sites downtown, could be ready to go pretty quickly, while some sites such as Strawberry Hill are going to take a lot more planning and work to make those sites available and ready.
Okay. So when looking at the available land and what's also being currently developed within this plan, do you have any ideas for changing the current land use setup? Are there any issues that need to be addressed at all?
Yep. That's something a planner looks at. Again, this is a whole brand new elements that we've been dealing with on this particular assignment. And you came into the game late, on Alaska did, in terms of dealing with land. And I think the year was like 1996 was the first time that you actually had a map put together that inventoried what was here. So we were dealing with much newer information than we anticipated. But what you did, a really neat thing here. You went out and you inventoried what was there, meaning existing land uses, and you adjusted your zoning ordinance to fit that. So it was from a planning perspective, we started off way ahead of the game just by having a seriously good inventory of what was where. And, you know, serendipity being what it is, the way land has been arranged here, a lot of it because of just natural barriers and limitations, ocean included, you've devoted a lot of your waterfront, most of it actually, to industrial development, and you've devoted what is developable from a residential perspective to that, and everything in between seems to have its place. So water's kind of found its level. That's one way of putting it here. That enabled us to be way ahead of the game in terms of what we're doing. The issues from a land use perspective that are most concerned to the community and to us are some situations here that you have conflicts, let's say, with, and I'll use probably one of the most graphic ones, the propane tanks next to a children's play area, okay, in this community. A lot of people mentioned that to us, pointed to it. Well, you know, the ironic thing about it is that playground is in the wrong place. It's not the tanks that are in the wrong place. That playground likely should have never been put there over by Sitka Spruce Park. So one of the things that we're going to try to do through this comp plan this time, particularly the land use part of it, is to eliminate those conflicts, again, to make the community much, much safer. Two, there's something new that the city started doing here, and this is coming right from the people, and that is that there are a lot of nuisances, basically, is what they could be classified as, but they're land use nuisances, cleanup of lots, you know, removal of discarded equipment, that type of thing. All comes under the heading of really in land use from a planning perspective. So this comprehensive plan, while we're, you know, no one wants to threaten anybody's rights, no one wants to jeopardize anybody's life or livelihood, but at the same time, you know, you're a compact place. People live on top of each other in a lot of respects, and so what a good land use plan or a comp plan does is try to make whether it's the environment or just the whole atmosphere of the community conducive for everyone's enjoyment. So that's you know, kind of where we're coming from a land use perspective, is clean up what we got, take care of what we got, but we have a lot of land area to do future development as well.
All right. Another major issue that came up in the community vision statement that you guys have also addressed is what we were talking about very early in the beginning, is that people, it's costly to get in here and it's costly to get out. Does the comprehensive plan address that in any way? And if so, what are your suggestions to try to help alleviate this issue?
Yep, the way that came from the public was two things exactly as you just presented them: to improve air service and to reduce the cost of air travel. For 20 years that we've been working here in this community, that's been one of the top priorities, to expand that airport to accommodate larger, hopefully jet service. We actually talked with Penn Air about that, your current carrier, and what they've assured us is that there's more than enough market to justify bigger planes. They want to see that runway expanded 500 feet, and here of late we've even been talking about more than just the 500. Hopefully, if you can put a bigger plane in here with more people, and two newer planes today are much more fuel efficient than the ones you're using. No one has said it's going to be cheaper, but maybe a way to look at it is, if it's not cheaper, at least it won't go up much over time if we can get the right kind of airplanes in here. And that is a critical issue here. The city's on top of that. FAA's on top of that. The Corps' on top of that. Local industry is demanding it as well. So, yeah, you can rest assured that's going to be a big one that's on the agenda till we get it satisfied here. But another thing, even with the airport terminal, we've heard a good bit about this. And, you know, people want to see that enhanced. I mean, they like what they see when they come through Anchorage. And not that they want you to be that, but they want a more comfortable environment there. They want enough space to do what they need to do, whether it's baggage handling or they'd just like to have their bags arrive here in many, many cases. But things as simple as that little restaurant that's there, just put an outside door so you can eat there even when the terminal is closed. So those are things that are all air related, but it makes the area more conducive to comfort to the traveler. And I can tell you, from being weathered out for up to the most I've been weathered out is 5 days in Anchorage trying to get on an airplane to get here, I can relate to this issue in no uncertain terms. And it's better maybe than it used to be in the past, but you check the schedule, just like I did this morning for flights out of here or tomorrow, every single flight is sold out. You don't risk changing your seat to get an earlier or later flight. And that's the way it's always been, and we know it gets worse as the season comes on. So, yeah, that's a big one in the plan.
When looking through the plan, it also mentioned perchance making the airport accommodate TSA security. Is that something that people need to be considering for the future?
Well, it's something that's definitely on the wish list, and you know, God only knows what that means as a future. As a person who lives in the air, I can tell you that, you know, just when you think you're going to can anticipate what they're going to do, they change the rules. But yeah, I think that you are in a very strategic location here from any perspective, not just industry but military as well. And it's always surprised us that there hadn't been more attention given to that. But I think it's just a matter of time. And, you know, even on a national level, TSA is having issues every day. So it's not just done in Alaska.
Okay. We are running short on time. What are the next steps with this plan?
Well, we are still in a draft mode with the comprehensive plan. We had an open house on Saturday and had wonderful attendance and participation, and got a number of comments from that. And we've been having meetings all day today as well. And we're taking that list of comments and forming them into a set of revisions to the current draft. We are going to be taking those revisions to the Planning Commission tonight. There will be a 7 o'clock Planning Commission meeting at City Hall, open to the public. And there will be time for public comment. So we will present those suggested revisions to the Planning Commission, work with them on that. The process after tonight is that at some point the Planning Commission will vote on the revised draft. And after they vote on the draft, it will go to the City Council with the Planning Commission's recommendation. And then the City Council will hold two public hearings on that form of the draft, and the goal is to have the city's new comprehensive plan adopted by City Council by the end of the year.
Okay. So again, community members can attend the meeting tonight at City Hall in the City Council chambers at 7 p.m. and get a more detailed look at the draft plan. It's also available on the city's website online, as well as the housing component. I'd like to thank all three of you guys for being here. Would you have any last words?
I'd just like to say thanks again to the whole community for making this what has been a very pleasant venture over the course of the last few years, and I would like for everyone just to keep in mind that virtually everything you see in this community, virtually everything you hear in this community, virtually everything you'll see in the future in this community relative to growth and development has come from the people of this town. And I would anticipate in a community like this that that's the way it'll always be. Go to the people first, and then try to meet the test that the people give us. That's always been our challenge here.
Yeah, I'll just also say I agree with that completely. It's been a real pleasure working in the city of Unalaska. I've sensed a real commitment to moving forward, so onward.
We've been coming here so long now, working on the vision statements and on the comprehensive plan, that actually someone the other night asked us if we live here. And that would be sort of only in our dreams.
It would be a very nice thing, yeah.
That was a rebroadcast of Speak Up on Alaska, originally aired today at noon. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for Alaska News Nightly.